This is Karen E. Klein, Smart Answers columnist at BusinessWeek.com. Today, my guest is Douglas Duncan. He's the president of Your HR Solutions, which is based in Maplewood, New Jersey. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing?
Quite well, thank you.
Well, what we're going to be talking about today is so many small companies that are still hiring are finding themselves with almost an embarrassment of riches when they put it out there that they're looking for a new employee with so many people out of work. How do they do that needle in the haystack kind of calculation when it comes to hiring?
If you happen to be fortunate enough to be hiring these days, and my experience is that we're beginning to see some break in that backlog, the challenge of going through all those resumes can be quite daunting. Recently, I placed an ad and received somewhere close to 175 to 200 resumes.
Wow.
That's a lot of people. And so I think when you look at a project that's as big as that, you really have to have a plan for it. I like to put together a program called the 8 Steps to Selection, and what that really means is first defining a good job description, and the job description needs to be clear based on not only what you're doing today, but what you see the market moving toward in the relatively near future. So we write a job description that looks at not only the tasks that you're going to be required to do, but also the behaviors and exactly how you do it. And that type of start really makes a big difference in terms of being able to screen somebody effectively.
Do you think that small companies may be hearing from applicants that in the past would not have particularly been interested in working for a smaller firm?
Oh, absolutely. We're seeing people with significant experience that are looking local in many ways, energy costs being certainly a consideration, but also just the fact that the net is going large and wide in order to find wherever they need to be. And anything that seems even reasonably intriguing, they're moving.
Well, you mentioned your tips for selection and hiring. What is a good sourcing strategy that you've come up with?
We have often tended to take the traditional approach to sourcing candidates. You put an ad in the newspaper and hope for the best. Clearly today, the huge range of places to turn to, the internet, Craigslist, Monster, Career Builders, and other job sites, both run by industry and industry associations, as well as independent businesses like that, are just tremendous sources. People are looking everywhere. The nice thing about the internet type of job postings is that you can take the time to write a little bit larger description of what you're looking for. And traditionally, people look at things like what I want. I want so much experience. I want so much knowledge. I want someone who's got this kind of experience or want to pay this money.
Uh-huh.
And now we can start talking about what you want and explain a little bit more about why the company is a good place for you to work. So it's a mutual approach to working.
You're kind of making a distinction between the job task, what you'll be doing every day, and the behavior of the employee who will be getting ahead in the company. What's the distinction there?
Each job really has that two parts of it. We do a task, we answer the telephone, or we work on some particular project. That's a technical knowledge that they have.
Right.
But what separates people when they finally get on the job is less about the technical knowledge and much more about the behaviors. Do I listen? Do I adapt? Am I flexible? All of these types of behaviors that really drive the difference between success and mediocrity. So going back to our original question about how do you begin to sort those hundreds of resumes that you receive, you really have to have a very clear definition of what the tasks needed to be done, but also how people actually accomplish things, not just an activity. I have participated in this activity, but here's the results, here's the accomplishment, here's what I achieved. And that's what you really start to sort a resume and make decisions on when you're trying to figure out, do I want to spend the time on the interview?
Now, if you do get some multiple volume of responses, which you haven't gotten in the past, do you recommend interviewing more people, or is it better to do the weeding out and the winnowing down just at the resume stage?
I take it so that if I had these 200 or 150 resumes, I'm going to be sorting based on task and behavior, where they've achieved and what I think, how they might be able to fit. Then to take that down to the 10, 15, 20 people that seem the highly likely to succeed on the job, really then go to the hiring manager, sort this again, and then conduct telephone interviews so that I can hear a person's voice, how they sound, how they respond to the interviews, the questions that we've developed. Then, once we do that, then the interviewing manager takes the next step and goes through a very specific, structured interviewing process that looks at both the tasks and behaviors as they perceive it. And then we winnow down a little bit more until we finally have the two or three people we think are best qualified. From there, we do special technical assessments and we do behavioral assessments to help really identify whether they're going to actually be the best fit for our organization. That's ultimately what our process comes down to, a series
of
steps.
The candidates that you're putting more time and attention into actually interviewing and maybe doing some testing are going to be a much smaller group.
Well, yes. First of all, in any environment, but particularly today, a manager or a company actually has to be focused tremendously on survival, if you will. I mean, we have a minimum amount of time and energy and resources. They can't spend the time to go through 175 resumes, so they want to spend their time the most effectively. For a candidate, for an applicant looking for a job, it's going to be really important to identify what the company is really looking for. For the company's viewpoint, it's to really identify clearly what employees are going to be right so we make the right job match. And that's the key.
You mentioned not just focusing on what you want, but looking at what the potential employee wants and trying to mesh those two. How do you go about that?
It's so important when you're writing an ad for whether it's online or whether it's in print, that you identify what your potential customer is looking for. And the customer in this case is the potential employee. They have needs and requirements as well. So I write ads like, are you looking for an opportunity to be really rewarded for the hard work that you put in? Would you like to work with people you really like? And if that's the case, this is, of course, what the employee is looking for, then here's what I, as an employer, is looking for. Here's a few of the technical skills. Call, send a resume in, and then the last word I put in every single ad, print or internet, is thanks, because I don't think we thank people half enough. It's part of trying to establish a good first impression, and how do you do that? Well, when you're first looking at a job, you want to make sure that the job is a place where I want to work. I'm enjoying my life, and then I'll be much more engaged. And if I'm much more engaged, I'm going to be much more highly loyal, and my productivity is going to be higher, and turnover is going to be lower, and that's exactly where we're trying to head when we're trying to place the right person in the right job and in the right seat and doing the right things.
So many times, small companies really have a lot of those attractive lifestyle options that may not get emphasized to say, hey, you can move forward quickly or you can really be a big influence on this company.
The whole key today, I believe, is finding and working with an engaged workforce.
Yeah.
People who are excited about coming to work every day. There's major studies that have been done where over 50% of the employees are disengaged in one way or another. They're discouraged or they're frustrated and they're turning off and they're not producing what they were capable of producing. So we need to find, either by bringing new blood into an organization or re-energizing our existing population, ways to engage people and get them excited. And that means they need to participate. That means they need to be a part of the activities that are going on and feel that they can truly accomplish something. And we do that with a good advertisement at the beginning. We do that with good interviewing skills. We do that by training them in the right way. We do that with good performance discussions. All of these things help to make sure that the right people get in the right place.
You mentioned saying thank you, and I just want to get briefly some ideas from you. What are you telling your clients about keeping the morale of employees up in a time of great uncertainty and maybe worry about business going down or layoffs happening?
Sure. I don't think it necessarily has to be an expensive process. The word thank you is something that is not often done as much as I think it should be. But I would focus the word on treating people with respect. Don't insult them by pretending that things are okay when they may not be, or they're not going as well. Don't ignore them by keeping silent. I think if we have an sometimes untapped resources out there that are not truly being used as much as they should be. People want to participate. They're on the front lines. They see things happening. let's make sure that we ask them a question about what they could do and what knowledge they could apply, how they could participate in the solution rather than just complaining about the problem. So those types of first things to do. I think it's also, people might also have great ideas about how to save money and how to do things more efficiently. I also have something I call the 10-penny rule, which says that if I want to move 10 pennies from my right pocket to my left pocket, and as an employer, if I can find people doing things right during the course of the day, then I get the right to move a penny from my right pocket to my left pocket, with the idea saying that if I can't find people doing things right in my company, I personally, as a leader, am doing things wrong. So I want to make sure I see things and then reward people, and it's not necessarily with the dollars and cents. It's good job. It's I like that idea. Let's see what we can do about it. What can you do to make things better? And people then start feeling excited about the things that they're doing and the opportunities they have. Other silly things maybe, but just going out for pizza on a Friday afternoon, or maybe we go to the movies together, or we go to have some sort of birthday party. Some ways to build the camaraderie among the team and to let them know that it's not all gloom and doom.
Well, thanks so much for your insights and the tips that you provided. I think they're going to be very valuable.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. Nice to talk to you.
Pleasure talking to you. This is Karen E. Klein, Smart Answers columnist at BusinessWeek.com.